Well, this is a fairly interesting sign I want to share with you. We've had a question for a long time, and this could be the answer to it. It's a sign of the man-child in fall. And Pamela Orr had this sign shown to her and took pictures of it and sent it to us. And that was on the 12th of this month. And she says, another supernatural sign. When we arrived back from Tennessee on August the 4th, one of the first things I noticed was an oddity in the cherry tree. I saw a blossom in the cherry tree. The natural scheme of things is for cherry trees to blossom in April and then give fruit in June. And this is what's happened with our tree for the past 10 years since it first started giving fruit. This year was a bumper year. Steve sent me a picture of the blossoming in spring because I was in Tennessee at that time. Then when we traveled west, we missed the harvest but gave the cherries to our neighbor. And when we returned in early July, the tree was mostly bare and even beginning to drop its leaves. And when I first noticed this bizarre blossom on a bare tree, I shrugged it off. I thought, I put silk wreaths out here and there, and obviously something has blown off of a silk wreath and lodged itself in the cherry tree. And that was a week ago. I read the blog about the double rainbow. Then this morning as I looked at the blossom for the umpteenth time, the Lord said, Pamela, I'm talking to you. This is a real blossom out there. It's for you and UBM as a sign. I told Steve about the blossom. I told him that at first I did not think it was real, but that I had changed my mind. And I pointed out the blossom to him, and he said, I'll go get the 8-foot ladder if you want to check it out. So I climbed the ladder for an up-close inspection, including touching one of the petals and making sure it was on a real limb that was attached to the tree. And everything checked out as genuine. I spent some time Googling off-season blooming of trees. Nursery owners have been submitting isolated reports of this phenomenon since 2012. They chalk it up to stress. Well, my question is, have cherry trees never been stressed before 2012? And how could Pam's cherry tree have been stressed? And I really just believe this is a phony answer. Why nursery owners? You know, a lot of other people get to see the sign if it's in a nursery, right? So this makes it a witness to more people than just us. Pam said, I had never seen it until this week in our cherry tree. And by the way, it now has a second blossom right next to the one we photographed. Then, when I returned inside, I picked up the conversation with the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, sorry I was so slow. What is this a real sign of? And I heard in my spirit, spring in the fall. Well, that's kind of what I've been asking for some time. Is it spiritual spring in the fall or natural spring in the spring when the man-child ministry starts? You know, the Messiah Torah codes that have been recently discovered seem to show that he is coming again after the Shemitah or sabbatical year, but I feel sure that it will not be how they think it will be again. They're expecting a Messiah, suppose it is the man-child ministry the Lord coming in the Son of David as before, a spiritual Son of David, a corporate body as before. That's the only way I can see that this could happen. Well, fall is from September 23rd through December 22nd. So it could be the coming of the Messiah as the Bible codes are speaking of after Shemitah or sabbatical year, after September the 13th, 2015, in other words. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And you also remember that this is the day of Adam's creation, and the 15th is the day of Eve's creation according to the Jews. That represents the last Adam's beginning of a new creation in our time that is coming, this latter rain creation, this rebuilding of the temple, the spiritual temple that's going to start. We also discovered, according to the Word of God, that on September the 9th is when the wall was finished being built, is when the wall is going to be finished being built too, because that wall has been being built for some time to lay a foundation for the protection of the city, and it represents sanctification, but it also protects the city and the temple, right? But could it be in fall? Pam said, I wanted more. I thought of cherry blossoms. A cherry blossom is a symbol of spring and government. Obviously, the cherry trees leading up to the White House and so on symbolize that. So then I asked the Father, is this a sign of the man-child government will begin this fall? And if it is, give me two heads. Well, he gave me two heads. And then I asked him to put my finger down on a verse that goes with the man-child government beginning. And my finger came down randomly on the word Jesus. Praise God. Yes, that he is the one who is coming, right? And that was in John 5 and 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him whole. I know a man the Lord is going to make whole, spiritually speaking, very soon. Won't it be awesome? And Pam notes the part of the dream below that stands out to me, which is a dream I'm fixing to share with you, is that there was no time differential between the blossoms and the fruit. And that was in the first paragraph of the dream. And this kind of reminds me of the fact that we have dreams on our site that the man-child is born and then starts talking and walking very quickly with great wisdom. Could this cherry blossom also bring forth a cherry very quickly? And I asked Pam to agree with me for the Father to do this. I would say that since there's no pollen at this time of the year, this also would be a miracle and a type of the virgin birth. The man-child's coming is a virgin birth because man cannot do this. And his coming in September could be an answer to the cherry that we prayed for coming. That would be pretty quickly, you know. Anyway, this reminded me of Eddie Brass' revelation that we called early spring fruit. So it happened early, but it was a spring, possibly a spiritual spring, like we are talking about in the fall, right? And Eddie had this back in February 2012. He said, I dreamed I was standing in the middle of a grassy plain in front of a huge fruit tree covered solid with white blossoms, to where I could even see the branches. I couldn't even see the branches, only the trunk. As I was admiring the blossoms on the tree, all these large ripe apples started falling off the tree. And suddenly these bushel baskets appeared out of nowhere, and I started to fill the baskets with the apples. Well, normally apples blossom in the spring and bear fruit in the autumn, but these seem to be bearing fruit early in spring, almost immediately, right? And in spring is a type of resurrection life. So it could be a spiritual spring in the fall. Blossoms turning immediately to fruit. This is similar to what we've seen before, that the man-child will grow up extremely fast after birth. And this is obviously pointing out that times and types will be very compressed. So could this spring be the fall, spiritual spring of resurrection life in the man-child? Well, yeah, that's been my question, and Pam's revelation there seems to answer it. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? So Eddie then said, I took the bushels of fruit over to a white rectangular table, like the one in the Gideon dream, and filled white grocery sacks with 8 apples each, and was giving them away to people. Well, those apples must represent something, because 888 is the Greek gematria for Jesus. And we know that of his fruit we have to partake, right? And it's his fruit in the man-child. And I think that's why the 8 apples are there, you know. He is the man-child's fruit. And he is our fruit. Remember in the parable of the sower, how the sower went forth to sow, and that was Jesus, and he sowed his word into the hearts of men. And one of the 4 groups he mentioned there brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it's talking about Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the revelation that Paul had, right? And then Eve put a note in this revelation of Eddie's. And so I believe this is a confirming dream of the first fruits man child coming early in spring as a spiritual resurrection life. And I asked the Father for a scripture for this dream, and I flipped open my numeric New Testament and blindly put my finger down on Mark 8 and 8. And they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 hampers of leftover fragments. Amen. So the interesting thing is 8 and 8. And of course, we know that Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He was God's provision in the wilderness, which we are now coming to, right? The tribulation wilderness. People are worried about how they're going to make it in the wilderness. Well, Jesus was God's provision in the wilderness, and Joseph was God's provision in the wilderness, right? So these are types, and Moses was God's provision in the wilderness. And all those were miraculous, you know. So spring represents resurrection, which is the life the man-child has, because Jesus lives in him. We need the Lord to come and minister to his people, for he is the sower, and the fruit is his. And as you know, the seed is in the fruit. We have a couple of places where Eddie's revelation is on our site. That's unusual. We usually only put a revelation in one spot, but we have it in man-child birthing and man-child coming, 2 different places. Of course, this link will be posted so you can go and study those. And in those, there is a lot of revelations of the man-child coming in spring. But quite often in there, we're asked the question, could this be spiritual spring in the fall? And it is a possibility that there are some of those dreams there that are pointing to that too. So, now, we have an update here. Remember we shared with you of a double rainbow sign that the Lord gave us. which I think is a very good sign for the people of God who've been going through troubles and tribulations to get them ready for the coming of the Lord. I mean, you know, some people will recognize the man-child because they've been prepared to do that, just as we saw they recognized Jesus because they'd been prepared. And the Lord is sanctifying a people to be able to recognize, understand, and follow the man-child ministry. So this was sent in by Barry and Vanessa Weeks, and we called it Lightning in the Double Rainbow Sign. And that was on the 13th that this was sent in. And Barry said, this morning, August 13th, 2015, my wife Vanessa was checking the weather on her Kindle and, quote unquote, accidentally clicked on this video. And when she saw the picture, because the video was on the weather site, you know, when she saw the picture, she immediately thought, I know what that means. A few years ago, she had received a dream or quick closed vision of several lightning strikes in the same spot. She then asked God what it meant. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, obviously those revelations are future and not past, so it's talking about the man-child here. So when she saw the video of the lightning within the double rainbow this morning, she felt like God was saying this is his covenant or promise about the man-child being given. Praise the Lord. So about an hour later, she started listening to Wednesday's August the 12th broadcast, in which David spoke about the double rainbow. We thought this seemed to be an exciting addition to what we heard on the broadcast. Yeah, and confirmation too, right? Because she saw this revelation before going on and listening to the broadcast. And what you see in this, which we'll put it up on the link so you can watch it if you want to, is a double rainbow with lightning striking many times inside of it. It's very neat. In other words, underneath the rainbow, between the two ends of the rainbow, there was many lightning strikes in there. And we know that God is sending Jesus with power in the man-child in order to fulfill the covenant of the rainbow, not to destroy all flesh again, right, by a flood. It is doubled because he's giving two witnesses. My suggestion is the same as I've been having. Let's pray to the Father to remember this when the flood from tsunamis hit the coast. Obviously, there is a chance of millions of people being wiped out, and I believe the Lord will hear our prayers. I believe the Lord has shown me that depending upon how many people pray to him to lessen this is what he's going to do, as to what he's going to do. So it was a link on AccuWeather video, and I watched it. It's very neat. I put a few more pictures of double rainbows there so people could understand what this is all about. But that's a neat confirmation of the coming of the man-child. And also of the end of the flood, basically speaking, because, as you know, the rainbow came after the flood to destroy all flesh. And the Lord likened that to us as a baptism to put the old man to death. Praise God. You know, a lot of people, I know a lot of you listening, you know, have been going through a sanctification process like you've never gone before. Crucifixions, revelations concerning things in you that you didn't know you had, testings from demons that you had to overcome in order to get rid of whatever it was. on and on. And don't think you're alone out there. I mean, I think the Lord is doing this across Christianity right now. He's trying to get a bride ready to follow the man-child. Because like John said, John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, you know. Inside that body of the Son of Man was the Son of God. And that's exactly what's coming again. Inside the body of a Son of Man is a Son of God. And it is the same man, the Son of David. So, I want to share another revelation with you. This was sent in by Mark Slifka, if I'm pronouncing that right. I hope so. He said, to UBM administration and David Eales, I have attached a Word document of a dream my son Seth Slifka relayed to me in the spring of 2011. He does not have detailed or intense dreams like this normally. And though he is in his early 30s, he has only relayed these two dreams to me that he felt were spiritually significant. He said, my wife and I and our two children are born again. I minister in a local cowboy church in Idaho and have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit since I was 9 years old. I find myself very busy in the kingdom work, though retired. I mentioned to Seth recently, on August of 2015, that I remembered the dream he told me that I had transcribed back on July 2011, and that I believed that it may be related to what some refer to as Planet X and its potential influence on the Earth in these times of the end. He said, when I said that, he felt the hair on his arm raise up, though at that point he did not know much about Planet X. I'm looking at a dream given to Eve way back, I think it was in 2011, about Planet X. And I will share it with you hopefully one day soon. I'm still studying it. And anyway, that was Mark Slifka. And this is Seth's dream from July of 2011. And Seth said, I almost never remember my dreams. This dream is vivid in my memory. My fiance and I were standing near the back of my pickup truck when I heard a strange sound, like a sharp crack, which sounded a little like a rifle shot or lightning striking nearby, not like thunder. I had never heard that sound before. I looked up to the south from Boise and saw the moon expanding or changing shape as a large cloud of material was expanding off the right side of the moon like a large explosion. The moon was about 3/4 full, maybe 3 to 5 days after full, and it was daylight. I had the sense that Ashley and I were getting ready to pack the truck to leave town. I saw the explosion growing off the side of the moon like a huge firework display that was about a half to 3/4 the size of the moon. I turned to my fiance and said, it's time to leave now. Immediately after this, in the same dream, I was looking across a large valley with mountains in the distance. Suddenly, a wall of fire, looking like a large dust storm moving ahead of a thunderstorm, was visible in the distance and grew larger. Then behind this fire dust, I saw a mushroom cloud growing slowly, getting larger and larger. I sensed I was looking across this large valley towards the south, and the explosion was perhaps 50 miles or more away, but in the foreground of the distant mountains. I was looking over this valley from a high vantage point. Well, there's some things mentioned there that are familiar to me. This hitting the moon, apparently a piece of the moon hitting the earth, etc. And the mushroom cloud, maybe, could be a similar too. He goes on to say, my fiance had received several dreams over the previous year that were all similar, except each time more detailed and or information came through. In the dreams, she and Seth were quickly packing their truck to get out of town because something bad had happened. In each consecutive dream, she would remember to take important things or leave unimportant items and know where those things were located, because in previous dreams, those more important things were misplaced or forgotten in the haste. In other words, it sounds very much like the Lord was preparing them to leave town quickly in an escape in the aftermath of this destruction. He went on to say, this large valley seemed to me, that is Seth, to be looking south across the Treasure Valley or Boise Valley toward the Owyhee Mountains and Nevada. The vantage point, the high vantage point, may have been somewhere north of Boise. In a picture drawn by me, the mountains were mostly to the right and behind the mushroom cloud. So that was very similar, and I wrote them back and told them that we had a dream on our site already that was very similar to that, in that the moon had been struck and a piece of it had hit the earth, or pieces of it had hit the earth. We can't tell from Seth's revelation. He only saw one piece, but that doesn't mean that it's one piece, right? In fact, it could be kind of unlikely that it would be one piece, you know, if the moon was struck. So Leon had a revelation of very close to the same thing. And I'm going to put this revelation with Leon's. In the evening, Leon went out back to take care of the chickens and looked up and took notice of the moon. And this was a vision. He came in the house and while taking a shower had this open vision. He saw himself outside in the backyard again and looked up at the moon and saw a bright white light was moving very fast coming from the direction of my right or westerly direction. He said it looked like it was going to hit the moon, and it did hit the middle of the moon, and there was an explosion. Well, you know, those things go very fast. Asteroids do go very fast. Meteors can go very fast, and they can do quite a bit of damage. I'll share that with you in a minute. Then he saw a chunk of the moon coming towards the earth. And as the chunk of moon traveled towards the earth, the sky became black behind it. Well, I don't doubt that. They say, I forget how much dust there is on the moon itself, but I don't doubt a physical manifestation of this. We're seeing so many fireballs striking the earth now, and the moon shows great signs of hits in the past. And the darkness following the lunar piece to earth could be dust blown into space, darkening the earth, as in other revelations. Is this also a spiritual vision, in that the moon represents the church in the Word? Because they both only reflect the light of the sun, the S-O-N and S-U-N, right? The church and the moon. They have it. The way the moon represents the church is because they both only reflect the light of the sun. And they don't have their own light. So that's pretty significant. So I wondered, could losing a part of the moon through the light represent part of the church perishing through the judgment of the light of God's word? Because the Lord said he would judge, that we would be judged by his word. And he said judgment has to come first at the house of the Lord, doesn't he? Amen. So, could the cut-off part of the moon traveling towards earth represent death, just as traveling towards the heavens represents resurrection? Could be. Could that 12-magnitude quake that Ephraim talked about represent the elect, as 12 does in Scripture? You know, I'm not doubting a physical manifestation. I'm saying, is there a parable in it too? You see? And so they went on, and so it got darker and darker until there was complete and total darkness. No stars, nothing but deep darkness. And I believe also the darkness could not only be moon dust and fires and volcanic action clouding the atmosphere, but it could represent the tribulation, as we see in Scripture. Anyway, that was the end of this revelation. It was, you see, as you can see, it was very similar to Seth's revelation. Just a note, this is conjecture, but many are praying to lessen the blow from the three rocks hitting the Atlantic and the Gulf, causing a tsunami. I believe God will answer according to how many people pray this way. According to Yuri Zaitsev, a Space Daily, at Space Daily, an asteroid has a speed of about 55,923 miles an hour on average. That is screaming through space. Can you imagine it hitting something like the moon? Well, the inertia from something like this would be spent somewhat on a strike on the moon. The pieces of moon from such a collision would be moving much slower towards the Earth than the original asteroid would. Now, we've been suspecting that this was an asteroid, or an asteroid broken into three that Ephraim saw coming towards the Earth, because of so many revelations about three different rocks hitting, two in the Atlantic and one in the Gulf. So, the original asteroid would be going very fast, but the moon pieces seem to be, would be going much slower when they hit the Earth. You know, to get hit by moon parts rather than an asteroid breaking apart could be the mercy of God. And I'm not doubting that this dream, that at least one piece hit the land. On the other hand, we may be speaking of both of these strikes happening. That is, an asteroid such as Ephraim spoke about, and this being something else entirely. I'm not doubting that God could do something to lessen what's going to hit the Earth in one way or another. I do believe that Planet X, if it happens in the time that we suspect the tsunamis are coming, that is in the fall, I don't doubt that Planet X is likely the culprit to bring in these rocks. I remember astronomer Gil Broussard, who said that it's Planet X's two passes are in late August of 2015 and spring of 2016 at the Passover, which I thought was very significant for the people of God going into the wilderness. Okay, if it's a sign, fine. If it's a manifestation, that's fine too. Either way, whatever the Lord chooses. I think all these things are warnings to impress us to be ready for the coming of the Lord, right? And anyway, Planet X is being reported to be seen by the naked eye, by some who also took pictures of a second, much smaller sun, which they took before and after our sun went down to prove that it's not a sun dog or a reflection. In other words, with the sun slightly up, they saw this much smaller sun and waited for the sun to go down to take another picture, because then only the second sun was seen. So it couldn't have been a sun dog or a reflection. And that was, if you Google it, you could Google it. There's probably more than one. I haven't looked. But you can Google breaking news, Nibiru fully visible now. Posted on 8/12/2015. Very interesting. So, oh, praise God. You know, these are exciting days, aren't they? Also wanted to share this prophecy with you. Our good friend Darvin Pape sent me this one. It's Wings of Prophecy. And Glenda said, I was inquiring of the Lord about America and other nations and the time of judgment, and asking the Lord what we could expect and what we should do, when I began sensing a very dark, very violent storm approaching the east coast of America, and Washington, D.C. in particular. I saw very dark, swirling clouds and waters, but overall, I sensed violent. I sensed, quote, violent, unquote. In my spirit, I saw a giant hand pick up a wicked man, and I saw he could not escape, whatever this violent, swirling waters represents. He could not escape it. The hand picked up the man in a way that caused the man's face to look upwards. I saw his fear, and that he knew there was no escape. I got to tell you, the biggest disaster in which there is no natural escape would be a tsunami. I mean, they come at you, you think you can look at it like in the movies and you got time to do something. No, no. It comes at you at 400 or 500 miles an hour, you know, very fast. And there's nothing can really stand up to it. I mean, water does not compress, so it crushes anything it touches, you know. She went on to say, I knew in my spirit the righteous were safe. They were being protected from its destruction. You say, how could God do that? Well, he can do it. We know he can do it. And we know he's going to do it. And supernaturally. And I knew just as well that the wicked could not escape. And then she enters into this prophecy. The time has come, my people, for what is wrong to be made right. My plan of justice will now play out for each nation and its inhabitants. I desire that you would make the wrongs in your life right. Grant forgiveness where there has been only anger. Ask forgiveness where it is needed. It takes humbling, but you must do this, because you're not forgiven, you're not protected from the various things that are about to come over the earth if you don't forgive from the heart, Jesus said. I know a lot of people don't forgive from the heart. They forgive with the mouth, and they feel like they're not angry, so they think they've forgiven. But sometimes you need to examine that a little more and ask the Lord to show it to you. So he says, ask forgiveness where it is needed. Be sure all in your house is in order for my coming. Well, it's interesting. You know, Glenda doesn't have any connection to our ministry, but we've been emphasizing this fact, forgiveness, since all the faction thing, you know, which is the most angry, critical, and unforgiving spirit I've ever seen. People are lost in that position. We've received many revelations about the judgments that's coming, taking out people that are in that state. So you must repent, forgive from the heart, cast down demon spirits that control your mind. She went on, I felt he meant visitations. What she was referring to is what she said before this, be sure all in your house is in order for my coming. And she said, I felt he meant visitations. And that is true. He is coming to visit. We've seen many verses and received many verses in our morning meetings about the visitation of the Lord. And preceding his visitation, there was judgment ahead of him. Right? But I feel very strongly, she has very strongly, bold and large, all caps, that we need to do this before mid-September this year. Show kindness to those who grieve and give to those in need. Do not put off these things. Do them now. What you receive in time to come depends on this. I agree. Obey God. Pray. Pray daily and many times a day for those you love, and that I may save the lost. Do not delay or let the enemy distract you from prayer, as it is of utmost importance. Do not delay. You have asked to know my heart. You have asked what you should do. These are my instructions to you. Obey me now. And a couple of texts, Matthew 5 and 22 through 24. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Racha, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou being bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. See, none of your gifts are going to count for anything if you don't get things right with your brother. And by the way, in that verse 22, without a cause was not in the original. If whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. Anger is unforgiveness. It's criticism. It's, you know, opening you up to the judgment. And also Matthew 6 and 15 says, But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 through 4, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, amen. Amen. And there's another thing I'd like to say to you. Rob Miller sent me an article by Michael Snyder, and it's called 23 Nations Around the World Where the Stock Market Crashes Are Already Happening. And it was posted on August the 17th, 2015. I do believe that the Shemitah in September, some people say 13th, some say 15th of 2005, that economic collapse will likely accelerate around then and get worse through October. But it is happening now. You can stop waiting for a global financial crisis to happen, because it's happening right now. In this article, he makes the statement that almost every single stock market in the world is down significantly from a record high that was set either earlier this year or late in 2014. And we have dreams where many were thinking that this would turn around and ran to invest at this market low, and they lost everything. So don't get suckered into this. You know, we said there was going to be a slight recovery after the 2008 downturn, and that a depression was going to follow that. We said that back pre-2008. And we received that because of multiple dreams that pointed that out. So I'll say that again. Almost every single stock market in the world is down significantly from a record high that was set either earlier this year or late in 2014. So it seems like things are getting prepared for the Shemitah and probably on in through October. And I don't think it's going to recover. Okay? You know, it's time for all of God's people to get into His economy, even as this one fails. Are you ready for a bank holiday when you can't get your money out of the bank? And when you finally do, it will be measured to you like it was in Greece. And it's probably not even enough to pay the interest on your bills. And when you get it months later, you get 50, 60 cents on the dollar. And the banks get their cut first according to the new laws that were made at the end of last year. In a collapse, crime skyrockets. Services go down. Are you ready to be fed by the military under martial law, where travel will be hard or impossible? Most people will wait till it's too late. And if that's not bad enough, the Bible warns that war and natural catastrophes are coming. And if you think that's not going to exacerbate the problems of the economy, you're wrong. So I say this, pray about getting away from the cities where there's just-in-time food supplies that will fail quickly. And the cities are where the worst crime rates come in a situation like this. Anytime too many people get together, there's crime, trouble, sin, debauchery. All right? Pray about getting away from the coasts and the fault lines. God is bringing judgment. And most of all, get into God's economy. You're not going to be able to trust this one. Everything that men depend upon will be shaken. And the only things that cannot be shaken is God's kingdom. God's got an economy in His kingdom. Most of God's people don't live in that economy. First of all, repent of your sins so you have boldness towards God. Call on Jesus and ask for His instructions, because you need to be where He wants you, right? Read His Word and trust in Him. Pray about going where people have faith and have been getting prepared for this. In Matthew 6 and 19, the Lord said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break through and steal." Now that's totally contrary to the carnal thinking of most of God's people, but God's power is made perfect in your weakness. Your money is going to be worth nothing. It will be a waste if you hoard it up until it's useless. And verse 20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." According to Jesus, the way to make money is to get in His economy and give to the needs of others. Luke 6 and 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again." What does He mean by that? Well, He means if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And of course, all this means that you'll end up trusting in Him. But then He doesn't cause people to be disappointed when they do that. So you just have to repent and believe, right? Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Amen. And I'm remembering Ephesians 1 and 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." We must be in Christ. That is, believing in the original Scriptures, according to 1 John, and not walking in willful sin, also according to 1 John, and walking as He walked, right? Oh, praise be to God. Well, Father, we do ask, Lord, that You would remember all of our brethren and all of our would-be brethren one day. when these judgments come across the earth and you do supernatural signs and works to preserve those that we are trusting you to save and those who are your children. And like the Revelation says, you'll take out the wicked. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you. You're all wise. You don't do any wrong. We can trust you to be righteous. And we can also trust you to be merciful. So we claim that rainbow, Lord. We claim it in the name of Jesus, Father. We give praise unto you for your wondrous salvation. We know that you will do supernaturally to preserve your people. Just like when they crossed the Red Sea and you parted the waters and brought them together to take out the wicked. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Father. Thank you for a wonderful revival coming. Thank you for the Lord Jesus coming, manifested in his people. Thank you for having mercy upon each and every one of us. Please draw us unto yourself. Please help us to see the importance of obeying you now, just as the Revelation we just read, obeying you now. And you mentioned there meeting other people's needs. You mentioned there forgiveness. Let it be, Lord. Grant us grace. In Jesus' name.